He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Week in Review show for the week of 9/16 to 9/23. Has not been a good week in the market. We'll go over that. I am not a Pollyanna perma bull, nor am I a perma bear, but there's a lot of not good stuff going on in the market right now, obviously. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, 23 years in the business as a professional money manager, and also as a newsletter writer, a market timing newsletter writer, also inventor of the Best Stocks Now app, which is one of the most popular apps for guiding you through the markets. BestStocksNowApp.com. Well, we are a virtual firm with no offices in cities, but our radio show is heard throughout the nation. Best Stocks Now, or is it Best Inverse Funds Now, which it has been this past week. And we have clients all across America in our fee-based only funds. And I am unconstrained. I'm an unconstrained manager. I use the Pro Funds Inverse ETFs. At times like this, they go up when the market goes down. We seem to have lost. It seems that the Fed has accomplished what they wanted to do, and it would seem that putting us, putting the America into a recession, and possibly more than likely the rest of the globe into a recession. And I've said many times, you don't want to own bonds in a rising interest rate environment. You don't want to own bond funds in a rising interest rate environment. And you want to go very lightly on stocks in a recession, which means earnings falling for the S&P 500. And you want to use inverse funds when that time comes. So welcome to the weekly review brought to you by Bill Gunderson and Gunderson Capital Management, Best Stocks Now Show, Best Inverse Funds Now Show, whichever the case may be. But we're in serious territory here in the overall markets. Barry, you know, yesterday I went to a local business fair after the market closed of local businesses here in our neck of the woods from where we broadcast the show from. And I saw a little booth there with one of the national brokerage firms. You know, they are kind of constrained kind of guys, investors. It's a big nationwide firm headquartered in St. Louis. I stopped by, chewed the fat with them, and I asked them, what are you guys doing here in this market? Well, we're just telling people, answering the phone. I know the mantra, Barry. I've been in the business for 23 years. Okay, I've heard the mantra. Hang in there. You know, it will all come back. Well, you know what? That's okay if you're 25, 30, 45 years old. But it's not okay if you're 60, 65, 70, 75. You know, the other mantra I've heard over the years is stay the course. Okay, I know you're a financial planner and you've been through the financial planning training course, which is quite extensive, and you're also a chartered financial analyst. And you know, the popular style of investing today is asset allocation, depending upon your age, okay? Well, you know what? I never drank that medicine. You know, maybe they tried to convince you in chartered certified financial planning right. school that was the way to go. But here's the problem I've had. It have with it, and I've had it since the day I entered into this business 23 years ago. It's based on age only, for the most part, and your risk tolerance. And you enter all of those numbers into any one of a number of financial planning programs. What's the most popular one these days?
I would just go with your you think of your robo-advisor, or from a planning standpoint, it's usually, strictly a goal-based plan where you're assuming, straight-line assumptions for a very long period of time.
Yes. And those assumptions go out the window when, the world goes into commotion. Here's the problem with the assumptions. I don't know what they're putting in for assumptions in the bond market or what they put in 5 years ago. The bond market had a great run and had a great run for 40 years. Why? Because interest rates came down from 1982 until today, or actually until about a year ago. Falling from the last time we got into an inflation situation. And we got as low as under 1% at one point in time on the 10-year. Okay, now we're back to 3.7 already. That's happened very quickly. And bond ETFs this year are down about 15%. Okay, so those that are retired and heavily weighted in bond funds, maybe they've got 70% of their portfolio in bond funds, they're taking on serious water right now.
It hurts the premise, the premise of the 60-40 portfolio, for example, say equities to bonds or any of those percentages are based on, essentially the bond portion, right, zigging while the equity portion is zagging.
Exactly.
So the problem is certainly, at least, this year, and, as we've seen in times of crisis, whether it was, March COVID of March of 2020, whether it was 08-09, in times of crisis, the bond mutual funds haven't kind of done their job in terms of dampening the volatility that you have on the equity side. And this year, bonds have actually added to the overall volatility of portfolios.
Exactly. Okay. And, the Fed signaled many moons ago that they're going to aggressively hike interest rates. Okay, why not just throw wood on the fire of the train coming around the track headed right for bond funds? I mean, it was a very clear signal that they sounded. Get off the tracks. But, it's like the guys I talked to yesterday. Oh, no, stay the course. I've heard the mantra, stay the course. We've built this plan, stay the course. But the plan is derailed right now. In addition to that, when the bonds go down, the stock market's supposed to do better than the bond market. The stock market is doing even worse because we're now headed into an earnings recession. Okay, we've had 13 straight years of earnings growth and new highs in the market. The NASDAQ got as high as 16,000. The Dow got up to 36, 37,000, somewhere in that range. But now everything is turning south. So there's more to it than just your age and these assumptions. Assumptions don't always work out, okay? And they're not working out now. We believe at Gunderson Capital Management that there's a better way of money management. And simply said, it's active and not passive. You cannot be passive when you've got Jerome Powell shouting from the rooftops, we're going to continue to hike rates until we get inflation under control. We're not even sure that hiking those rates by themselves will get inflation under control. You should have no exposure to bond funds right now. And as far as the stock market goes, there's one little bastion of support at 3,600 on the S&P 500. The S&P's been going up for 13 years, but it started to get into serious trouble about a year and a half ago. Stocks don't do well in a rising interest rate environment because multiples shrink, multiples contract, which they've done wildly this year. We started the year with a 23 multiple on the S&P 500. We're down to 16.5 right now. And now the other part of the equation, the earnings that we multiply, use the multiple to come up with the target price for the S&P 500, the earnings are now in severe danger. I don't think you can trust the consensus estimates that are out there in earnings. And we're going to enter into an earnings season here in about a week. And, I mean, just watching these economic reports from around the world, all signs pretty much show how many recessions have the economists gotten right over the years, Barry?
Oh, they've called 50 out of the last three recessions.
Well, you know, I think they're going to get this one right, because it would appear. So what do you do? Well, you know, I'll tell you what you do. There are some things you can do, and we've been doing them. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now. So what do you mean, inverse funds? Well, about 15 years ago, maybe even longer than that, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look and see when the pro funds first came around. I was a fee-based money manager at the time, and I had a few variable annuities that I managed, very few. It was a very small portion of my business at that time. But inside those variable annuities, you know, they're not safe. They're subject to the markets. They have mutual funds inside of them, and I was looking for anything at that time to protect folks when a downturn comes in the market. Well, number one, obviously cash. We currently hold, I think after today, it's going to be about 60 to 65% in cash at our firm. I'm an unconstrained money manager. I don't have to be fully invested. How would you like to be running an innovation fund or a technology fund and having to stay 100 or 90% or whatever your charter says invested? I mean, that just is... That's ridiculous.
She just stepped back from a couple of her.
Yeah, funds. Kathy Woods. She continues to just get clobbered. But, you know, why? I mean, if you've got a parachute, why not use it? All right. So I had a lesson, and they came to my house and or my office, and we talked about the pro funds and how an inverse fund works. It works just like a mutual fund. Okay, at that time, they didn't have ETFs. ETFs came along much later. So I started using some inverse pro fund mutual funds. If the Dow goes down 2%, it goes up 2%. And conversely, if the Dow goes up 2%, it goes down 2%. It has an inverse relationship, a contrary relationship with the index that it's built to have this relationship with. And over the years, the inverse fund universe has grown quite a bit, but it's still a very, very small portion of investing. And I guarantee you, the guys I talked to yesterday from the nationwide brokerage firm, where they have four offices around here, you know, it's a very common firm, and I know that they stay fully invested come hell or high water. And I know that a lot of firms don't allow you to use the inverse funds, okay? And when I mentioned that I had a radio, they turned white, Barry. Oh, my gosh, you have a radio show on the market? I said, yeah, I've had it for 23 years. Oh, we could never do that. We are not allowed to do such a thing. Are you allowed to protect your clients' portfolios when times get tough? Are you allowed to use the fire escape if there's a fire in the office? I don't know what they allow them to do and what they don't allow them to do. But anyways, you know, over time, they continued to add mutual funds to their offerings. both inside the annuity. I think it was American Scandi at the time, and they got bought out by one of the big fund companies or annuity companies. And then along came the ETFs, which are even easier to use, okay? There's no minimums. You can get in and out. You can be in them for 5 minutes if you want, and out and whenever you want. They're liquid, most of them. Some of them aren't as liquid as others. So, for instance, you have SPY, which is the S&P 500 long, and you have SH, okay? That's the opposite of SPY. SH, you know, the S&P's down about 20% so far this year. So SH is up 20%. It's as simple as that, okay? You can use these inverse funds as a hedge, or you could be all cash and just own a few, say 80% cash and maybe 20% in inverse funds. Your portfolios would be going up this year. You'd be positive this year. SH also has a 2-to-1 leverage. So if the S&P is down 20%, it's up 40%. That's SDS. That's a little bit wilder. And then the third one is I can't remember the SDOW. That's the Dow. SQQ. There is SDSS.
SDS. Yeah, SDS is one.
Yeah, and there's one that's 3-to-1, okay, and that's put out by Direction Fronts. Now, ironically, it was 15 years ago, 16, 17 years ago that I last met with the Pro Funds rep. I think they were in Southern California at the time, and that's where I was. I was in San Diego all my life running my firm, Gunderson Capital Management. Now I run it virtual firm. We meet with everybody virtually, but I'm physically located in Charleston, South Carolina. Beautiful place. I got an email from ProFunds about a week ago, said, "Hey, we're going to be in your neighborhood. We'd like to stop by and say hi." Well, that's going to be interesting, Barry. I'm meeting with them at 3 o'clock today, and I'm also meeting with their global strategist. And I want to see if him and I are in sync with one another on our feelings right now about the market. And the use, which I own several inverse funds right now, which you know have really, really helped a lot. So, there's inverse funds against real estate. There's inverse funds against the bond market. We have a large position in an inverse fund. It's up 70% this year. It goes up when interest rates goes up and the bond market goes down. There's inverse funds on the NASDAQ. We made a lot betting against Kathy Woods earlier this year. We use SARC, which goes just the opposite of ARC, her ETF that is down like 60% so far this year. SARC is up 60%. There's inverse funds on the NASDAQ. There's inverse funds on the financials, which are getting clobbered right now. There's inverse funds on Europe, which has all kinds of problems right now. There's inverse ETFs on the emerging markets, which have all kinds of problems right now. Inverse funds on China. Inverse funds on sectors in the market, the housing market, for instance, which with the 30-year mortgage now over 6%, that's a pretty good inverse fund to use. So anyways, there's a lot of radio shows out there. There's a lot of people that come on CNBC. I've been on CNBC. I've been on Fox Business. I've been on Fox News with Megyn Kelly. I've never heard any of them talk about inverse funds before. Why? Are they not allowed to talk about it? Is that a subject? I know you can't even buy them at Vanguard. You can't even buy them. Well, Gunderson Capital Management is fortunate. We clear through Ameritrade. And Ameritrade allows me as a money manager, a fee-based registered investment advisor, to use inverse funds judiciously in the accounts that I manage. And it's like having a tackle box full of lures, and you have a lure that works in certain conditions, and this is one of those conditions. We've pulled out the inverse funds and own several and are probably looking to add more here going forward. Get our newsletter this week. I've been writing it for 23 years. GundersonCapital.com. 2 free weeks, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now. Maybe that's a new term to you, show. I've been doing this show for the last 23 years. We're heard in several cities across America. I am president of Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual firm with clients all across the country. We are unconstrained, we are active, not passive, and we are fee-based only. No commission products. Barry, I'm hearing from a lot of clients at other firms that are big, nationwide firms that are like us. They're registered investment advisors, they're fee-based, and they're doing nothing like a time like this. Okay, look, that's what makes it a market. Everybody has their strategy, okay? Everybody has their way of doing things. And if you were to call them up and say, what are you doing with my portfolio right now? Are you doing anything? No, we're staying the course. We believe in these 60 or 70 stocks that we own, and we're gonna ride through them. These are difficult times that we're in right now. I mean, there's a lot. You talk about zigs and zags. There's zigs and zags all over the world.
Yeah, the zigs and zags have zigs and zags.
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen a world in commotion like it is today. Now, look, I'm a veteran of 2000. I saw the NASDAQ go down 79%. Well, that was good experience. So, you know, I put a stripe, you know, on my, I became a corporal that year. I saw what valuation, overvaluation can, what can happen. The fallout thereof was not good. The NASDAQ went down 79%. Pop, tech stocks, dot-com stocks were popular. Everybody wanted in on them, and they paid no attention to valuation. We saw the same kind of bubble happen in 2020 during the COVID year. That's the year Kathy Woods was up like 80 or 90%, and the valuations on those stocks were absolutely ridiculous, really. Space exploration, Bitcoin mining, Bitcoin firms, mobile trading firms. It was all stuff out there on the horizon, long duration in nature, trading at extreme nosebleed-type multiples. And they've come crashing down, obviously, and they have further to go. So we learned a lesson on valuation. Then in 08 and 09, we had the financial crisis, which I would just say was bad decisions by people in leadership, whether it be in government, whether it be at companies, whether it be at loan companies. It was just a lot of bad decisions. Companies or countries around the world buying up these packaged products that were full of all of this, nuclear waste, I suppose you could say, that was ready to combust at any point in time, of supposedly AAA paper that was not AAA paper.
Financial engineering at its worst, really.
Exactly. And, you know, the Wall Street firms made a lot of money charging people commissions and whatnot to sell that stuff, but look what the end result. So the simple lesson here from both of those experiences, in the real estate market, it's all about location, location, location. And now we're also learning it's also about interest rates and the direction of interest rates, because we've seen the real estate market come to a sudden stop, really, with the 30-year over 6% now, when it was under 3% a year ago. In the stock market, it's earnings, 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 okay? In 07, earnings started to point downwards because of the problems that were building at the financial firms, the banks, etc., the lenders, And we started to see downwards revisions to earnings, okay, for the S&P 500. And that's what we use as our cue, is those earnings for the S&P 500 and the expectations down the road. Well, we finally got our act together, 08, 09. Market finally bottoms in March of 09, and earnings expectations start to point up as financial companies clean up their balance sheets. New rules are passed, to try to prevent this from ever happening in the future, and onwards and upwards. And, of course, earnings went up every single year for the next 11 years, okay? And the market went up. The S&P bottomed at 660 back in 09, and it got as high recently as, I think, 4,600 is where we got to on the S&P 500 at its high last year. And earnings have been going up until we hit the COVID year. And we had a big drop in earnings. But my background, Barry, your background is chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. My background is accounting and income statements and reading income statements and whatnot. That, in accounting, in layman's terms, that's a one-off, okay? That's an extraordinary item that's probably not going to happen again. Now, companies have those every single year. They have a fire at a refinery. They have a strike, something, okay? And it's kind of not even calculated into those earnings falls, because it's a one-off kind of thing. You got to pretend like it's not going to happen in the future. Well, that's what 2020 was, the COVID year. And the earnings expectations after COVID, 2021, 2022, they look very bright. Even at the darkest hour of COVID, I still didn't see hardly any downwards revision to S&P 500 earnings. In other words, the COVID pandemic had been priced in very quickly into the market. We had about a four-month bear, and then the market became extremely cheap back in 2020, and we put out an all-in buy signal. You can go to SeekingAlpha.com. We are writers, prolific writers on Seeking Alpha. Not as prolific as we used to be. We're pretty busy managing money.
Yeah, right.
But we put in an all-in market call in March of 2020, and then followed it up with several more saying, here's what you should be buying here. Then about February of last year, we started getting cautious because valuation started to get out of whack. But earnings estimates still look pretty good for this year, which we're going to have record earnings this year. But now the market's worried about next year, 2023, and the year after that, 2024. Well, the first shoe to drop was rising interest rates. I mean, they've gone way up. Okay, believe it or not, the two-year is at 4.16 right now. More than the 10-year, which is at 3.70 or 3.65 in there. We have an inverted yield curve strongly indicating a coming recession. And the rising interest rates have destroyed the multiples of the highest PE stocks. And now it's even drifted down into the Microsofts, the Apples, the AMDs, etc. So you've had that big multiple contraction. You've had almost a 30% drop in the NASDAQ now, an over 20% drop in the S&P 500. And you might say, well, that multiple's not going to contract anymore. Probably not. I mean, we're down around the 10-year average, which is 16 or so. But now the worry is the earnings picture. Okay. How reliable are those earnings estimates next for the full year next year and the year after that, with inflation hanging around very stubbornly, with a Fed that is in just ultra aggressive fashion hiking rates and saying there's more to come? What is this going to do if the U.S. goes into a recession and the globe goes into a recession, which seems pretty likely at this point in time? I hate to be the deliverer of bad news. That is going to bring down the earnings estimates for next year and the year after that way down. Stocks do not do well in a recession. And by recession in the stock market, I mean an earnings recession. The earnings estimates for next year are currently at $227 per share. The year after that, $240 per share. You put a 16 multiple on that, 17, that's where we are today. But what happens when those earnings estimates start coming down? Well, I publish those every week in my newsletter. I've been coming down considerably. I see Goldman Sachs lowered their target price to $3,600 for the S&P 500 today. Well, I publish my target price every single week, and my app also gives a signal, buy, sell, hold, on the indexes. It made a major move a couple of weeks ago. Get my newsletter this week. I'll be putting it out Saturday afternoon. Go to GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I use that song to, let people know, look, you have a choice. You got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do. You can manage your own money. You can be with one of these nationwide firms that tells you to stay the course. They said the same thing in the year 2000, and I saw the results of that. They said the same thing in the year 2008. I saw the results of that. Now, by nature, I'm a very optimistic guy. I've been a bull, a raging bull, since 2009, okay? I started getting very, very cautious when the inflation picture started to rear its ugly head. I was around in the late 70s during the inflation years, and Paul Volcker had to come in and put America into a deep recession in order to get us out of the fix that we'd gotten ourselves in. And now it seems like we've getting ourselves into not only an inflation fix, but other kind of fixes. Europe's got energy problems, big-time problems. You've got a lot of commotion around the world and conflicts and whatnot. But anyways, so like I say, everybody's going to handle this situation differently. We are handling it by the stocks that we still have, which aren't many. We're 60% cash and 10% inverse funds right now, which doesn't leave that many. And we have a very tight noose, very tight leash on everything that we still own. And we could definitely, there's a number on the S&P 500. If it cracks below that, Barry, that ends. That brings to an end the primary trend that has been up since 2009. And it could be that then we would be, tilted on the inverse side and go up on the days when the market goes down, which we've had many of those this year, where we've been up on days when the market was down. But we are down overall so far this year, but not nearly as bad as what the markets are down. And it could get, you have to be prepared. It could get a whole heck of a lot worse before it gets better. So you have to be prepared. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and the indices gave up, they gave up 4, 5, 6% this week, depending on which one you're looking at. And the other thing is we're in this is different than,
different.
The passive market that we, index fund, between 2010, right, and 2020 didn't, you could not open your statement for almost 10 years and things were fairly rosy, upward sloping trend during that period. But, just this week we had, it was interesting, I was reading, we've had 750 basis points or more of global, central banks raising rates. Of course, 75 basis points here for the Fed, 50 for the Bank of England, and when you incorporate all the other larger economies around the globe, it was at 7.5%, 750 total basis point increases around the globe this week.
Don't fight the Fed.
Doesn't happen. I mean, it doesn't happen often, and it certainly hasn't happened in that 10-year span of passiveness, if you will.
Well, we provide two services at our firm. During my career, 23 years on the radio, writing newsletters and managing money, I have an army of do-it-yourselfers that follow me, which is great. Okay, I'm on Twitter all day long and stalk twits at Bill Gunderson, giving my observations, my honest observations of the market. I invented an app for my own use. It has 6,100 stocks, inverse ETFs, ETFs, bear, bull ETFs, leveraged ETFs, mutual funds. I use that as my guide, just like GPS on a boat. If you've got a favorite spot to fish, this points to me where there is the. It ranks the sectors. It gives me an overall signal on the market, which you can see. It'll be in the newsletter this week. It tells me where the best sectors are, if there are any. And I count inverse funds as an asset class, okay? They're the best asset class right now. So a lot of do-it-yourselfers subscribe to my app and my newsletter, and I also have a live trading service where, $89 a month, I run about 6 or 7 portfolios, and I let you know anytime I make a change in one of those portfolios, and you hear from me all day long throughout the day. And
yeah, whether you want to or not.
Whether you want to or not.
Lately, right?
And you get the newsletter every week. And then there's a lot of people, man, look, these guys are in surgery. They're performing surgery during. They can't be listening to my, waiting for my next buy or sell. And I'm not a day trader. We're looking for big winners in the market, in an up market, and try to hold on to those winners as long as we can. And in a down market, we take our profits or we cut our losses short, whatever the case may be. And we add inverse funds. People transfer their accounts to me. I had one come to me here, several actually recently. First thing I do is I do some gardening on them. Get out the weed whacker, right? Pretty much get rid of everything. In a lot of cases, I have to sell everything and start all over. In some cases, there's a
particularly
few
in this market,
absolutely. Right. And they're coming from a firm that has built these portfolios and has no intention whatsoever of making any changes going forward, which doesn't seem right to me. So, anyways, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you can go to my website at GundersonCapital.com. I'm in the market every day. 10 hours every day, and maybe I can guide you through this treacherous market that we're in right now. You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter. That only goes to my subscribers and clients, and if you're one of those that just doesn't have the time to manage your own money and want somebody that's going to be vigilant and do something when the world goes upside down, we are just a fee-based money manager. We clear through Ameritrade, which will soon be Schwab. You can reach us. You can have a virtual appointment with us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. We have clients from all over the country, including North Pole, Alaska. No joke. That's the one I'm most proud of. And, of course, we've got our show is heard in Minnesota, in San Francisco, in Sarasota, in Dallas, Detroit, Michigan, all over the country. This has been a lot of fun. We can get through this, but you know what? You got to be active. There's no passiveness in this market. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day. Great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.